Access number 3407, Mr. Ralph Curtin, Rio 6. Now, anything else about... I mean, when did you start being a Queen's Messenger? Is that after the war had finished, or...?
No, during the war.
Right, now we've just been looking through the papers with a bit more care on my part, and we've now found you went to India in July 45, and where you're slightly at fault is the war had finished about a month after you got there. So the war had probably finished while you were at Pune.
Mm.
So that gives us a proper date, and I'm sorry about that. So you probably joined the regiment round about August, and you stay out there till October 47. So now we know what we're doing there. So I think the thing that's confusing us is when the end of the war was. So we'll just completely forget about that now, because it's all effectively peacetime of one sort or the other. Now, tell me about this role as Queen's Messenger, because that's really interesting. Again, that's quite unusual. What happened with that?
Well, I was called to the regimental squadron, and asked if I'd like to do... Queen's Messenger, and it was explained to me that I would be put into a carriage, an actual railway carriage with food and water, and a .38 service revolver, and 25 rounds of revolver ammunition, and I would be handcuffed to a case which had presumably papers in of quite considerable importance. And so I said, well, yes, it got me out of regimental duties. It was tiring.
Now, where would you take messages from and to, and how? What means of transport?
Well, where we were stationed, it wasn't all that far off country to Delhi, and
you'd moved to Delhi from Agra.
Yes, and I had to go from there in various parts of the country. I went to all sorts of places. I spent something like 2 months on that particular type of.
Now, who were you carrying messages between?
From Delhi HQ command. To various places like Bombay, Madras, whatever. I can't remember exactly every place we went to.
Oh, no. And how did you travel?
By train.
Always by train?
Always by train.
And you were on your own, or did you have an escort as
no,
well?
No, always on my own. But I would be met at certain stations, which information had been given to me in written form as to who I would meet, rough password to open up to get some food and push through and water and everything. Had a little chemical toilet in the, in the compartment.
Did you enjoy this role?
I did, actually, because it got me around the country where I wouldn't have done so if I hadn't taken the opportunity. It was interesting, and I was thanked most profusely by various people.
Was it dangerous? I mean,
it could have been.
Were you ever attacked or threatened?
The carriage door was thumped quite a few times, but having warned them that I would fire if they tried to enter, I think that probably deterred them.
And where would you stay? Would you stay when you got there? You'd stay there.
I'd stay there in some local situation. It was usually barrack somewhere.
And then back the same
back
way.
To the
would you carry a message back as well, or?
Well, mostly, but not always. It depended.
Now, what about when you moved? You'd moved with the regiment to Delhi, hadn't you? Where were you stationed at Delhi?
In a compound just outside
the big cantonment.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Interesting. The Red Fort was one place that I stayed at. And
Is that part of the cantonment? I'm not very familiar with that.
It is, well, part of it. Old part of it.
And why was it into? Tell me about the Red Fort.
The Red Fort. History. And it's interesting because later on in India, as you know, there was the subdivision of India. And we'll come back to the Red Fort in a minute.
Okay.
What I was going to tell you was, with this subdivision of India, there was a lot of trouble with Hindus and Sikhs and Muslims.
And were you aware of what was happening?
We were well aware of it. We had been told by the commanding officer of troubles up and down the country, and we were officially on standby as ground troops rather than using the armour. We might be used to help put down civil disturbances. And the one occasion...
did you actually train for that role?
Yes, we did, actually.
Do you remember that?
Yes, they had two or three troops against two or three troops acting as uprising peasants, coming at us with staves and throwing things at us and all sorts of things. And we were issued with a sort of a raffia type of shield, and we had to wear steel helmets, not the tank barrier, a steel helmet. And one evening there was a hell of a shimozzle going on, we could hear, and the guard turned the regiment out, and what had happened was that the fighting had spilled over from the local community into the area in which the camp was. So we had to make sure that they didn't...
Now, how did you do it? What do you remember of that?
Well, they formed us up in troops, and we had to fix bayonets and patrol. If we found anybody, we just made sure they were put outside the encampment. We didn't actually turn out in respect of forcing them to go away. It was just to keep the camp clear. But that was an interesting couple of weeks.
Did you ever actually have to turn out for a full-scale riot, you know, where you formed?
Yes, we did. We actually we went out and we took some of the Shermans down into Delhi, into the old Red Fort. And we were in there, I think, something like about a fortnight, 3 weeks, in case we needed to be called out. We just manned the walls of the fort in the old way, as they used to do years and years ago. But
so you didn't actually use...
No, we didn't
go out.
We didn't go out with the Shermans or anything like that. No.
And anything happen while you were in the Red Fort?
Well, there was disturbances, violent disturbances, but there was other regiments there. I can't remember who they were, but there was they were out patrolling, and we were there as backup, really, if things got out of hand.
So you were sort of on standby.
Yeah.
Did you ever see? So you never actually did the business of facing a full-on riot in line.
No, because we were the armour behind the waiting.
Anything else about your time in Delhi?
No, but when we came out of there, we went back to our base at Agra, and I...
Can I just ask, so you went back to... What about, how did you get on with the local Indians generally? I mean, because there's all this trouble in Delhi, but what about generally?
Well, I used to go down into the villages, and I used to sit with the head man, and I endeavoured to learn the language.
Which language was it?
Hindi.
That's quite unusual for an ordinary soldier. Mm. You're just interested, were you?
Yes, I can always. Let me think now. Ekdo ting cha ponch che sort no das bas garabara ponda chunda, and so on and so forth. I remember I could speak reasonably. I could converse. And I liked to do that. I used to study their temples. I used to study their methods. I tried to understand what they were trying to do and why.
You were just interested?
I was just genuinely interested. India fascinated me. The country, the beautiful sunsets, sunrises, the temple with Agra, beautiful temple, and the story was, as you know, is good, and the history of the Mughal emperors and so on and so forth. I always like to see as many of the places as possible.
Now, were you quite rare in that, do you think, amongst the lads?
I think so. You used to think I was silly.
Now, how did you get on with the other? Did you have any special pals amongst the
Stephen, there's a Trooper Stevens, I always remember. He came from Liverpool.
Why was he your main, your particular pal?
Well, I think you find people, you make friends with a natural likeness of each other, comrades together, and what happens to them, what happens to you. I think the troop bonded quite well, really. I mean, about this stage, I came down with dysentery.
Hang on, let me just finish it. So, did you have lots of friends, or was it just Trooper Stevens and...
Well, just... you had a nodding acquaintance with all of the troop. But because you were constantly associated with a crew, you got to know each other's likes, dislikes, families, fiancés, wives, whatever.
Stevens in your crew?
He was in our crew, yes.
And that made a big difference to them.
Oh, yeah.
And what about the NCOs?
The NCOs were very good. We were with them such a long time that, we knew when they would give a little ground and when they wouldn't. And this helped to bond the crew together.
Were they good NCOs? I mean, did they know their stuff?
Oh, yes.
They handle men well?
Yes. Oh, yes. We had some new chaps come out to her, and they had to adapt, as it were, to our ways, the regimental ways.
What would you describe as the regimental ways? Just sum it up for me.
Well, the usual thing, smartness, well turned out. Never late to relieve somebody. That was essential. That was absolute paramount. Help each other as much as you could. Not to let the regiment down, as it were, and yourself.
So really a good, solid,
good
British
solid
regiment. Regiment,
very British regiment, yeah.
And what about the officers? Any you particularly
I
remember?
Think they tended, apart from the actual tank commanders, they tended to be very aloof.
In what way?
We didn't see them that often. Orders came down through the ranks, as it were. You could approach them, and they would look into things. But from the troop, lieutenants of the troop upwards, the only time you ever saw anybody was if you were on a big parade or you had a misdemeanor and you were called up in front of them.
And I presume you didn't have many misdemeanors.
Hopefully not too many.
Were there any particular officers you remember well, you know, that you liked? Leicester was your
troop leader.
What was he like?
He was nice. Yes, he was quite a nice chap.
But would you know the colonel, or would he have an influence on you at the time?
Would he know the colonel?
Would you know the colonel?
I
mean, would you know who he was? I mean, he wouldn't.
Well, I would at the time.
But what I mean was, did he have an impact on the unit? Was he a good colonel?
Oh, yes. Well, from the point of view of military, yes, of course.
Now, tell me about this dysentery. You started to pick up dysentery towards the end, I think.
Yes.
How bad was it?
Before that, let me just put you in a picture. I got we were out on training exercise, and I was in the Grant.
Back in the Grant?
Yeah, on one exercise I went out on as a stand-in
for... That's the CDL.
CDL tank, yeah. And I went out on an exercise, and we were firing a machine gun and 75mm. And I was called on to give rapid fire with the 7.92 Beza.
So you were as a gunner?
As the gunner. And I rattled off two or three belts, and all of a sudden there was a bang, hell of a bang. And the next thing I knew, my legs were hurting. And what had happened was, I found out afterwards, was that the... somehow or other, there was a discharge in the empty bag case dispenser, and something had happened, and two or three of the bullets had exploded in the bag, and my legs got shrapnel in them. So I had to be evacuated out of there, and that was. I went back to the went to Delhi, put me in hospital there for a bit. But I still got shrapnel in my legs.
It was quite bad.
Yeah, all these little spots on both legs. But anyway, we got over that. And then
how long were you in hospital for?
I was about 3 weeks.
So it was fairly serious.
Then eventually, as I say, I got this dysentery. Now, dysentery, you had three types of dysentery. There was bacillary, amoebic, and spruce. If you had spruce, you went home, because they couldn't cure it in India. I had amoebic bacillary dysentery, and I remember feeling very, very ill. And
how bad was it as opposed to an upset stomach? Because I believe it's a lot worse.
Oh, it was really bad. It was really bad. I couldn't leave the toilet. Anyway.
Were you getting badly dehydrated?
Very much so. And I reported sick. And next thing I remember, I was in this room. And I think I passed out, and I just saw this white vision. And what it turned out to be was, I was in an isolation ward, again, in Delhi, fortunately. and there was nurses, and the nurses were nuns, and the white thing that I was seeing was their cowl, you know, the and this one particular nurse, Sister Joseph, I think her name was, I can't, absolutely sure, and she looked after me personally, and I mean, I was in a terrible state. I was living on sulfaguanidine tablets, 50 every half hour, with a boiled water, and I think I was on that for at least a fortnight, with thin gruel and some thin rice cusps. Obviously, eventually, I got over it, but it knocked me right down. I lost weight, terrible weight. I was on the verge of spruce, but
what is spruce? I'm not.
It's dysentery in the extreme. Amoebic Brazilian spruce. Those are the three that you could get.
So and you were borderline being sent home.
It was borderline, but fortunately or unfortunately, in my case, I recovered. So that was it.
So you went back to unit.
Back to the unit.
Anything else happened while you were there? You were there at what? It's 2 years, 3 months.
Yeah. Well, we went to various schemes up and down the country.
So you were still carrying out exercise, even though the war had finished, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I always remember one journey. We had to go from Pune up to Delhi. We had to go down and pick some new tanks up. And we'd put us on tank flats. Now, tank flats in India, no priority. Every siding that we came to, they used to shunt us into it and leave us there, miles from anywhere. All we had was what we'd taken with us, a certain amount of water, a certain amount of food, and invariably the troop commander or whoever was in charge would have to go charging off somewhere to get some more food and some more water and tell them where we were. And eventually we did arrive back at the regiment with the new tanks, but it took us something like 3 or 4 weeks to get from.
And these were what, more Shermans and CDLs?
Yeah.
Were they?
No, Shermans. More Shermans. Yeah.
Were there a lot of people going home, demobilised, you know?
Yes.
Because, I mean, I'm thinking...
They were gradually winding us down.
I mean, were there parties and things that when people left, or... Because, I mean...
Parties? Well, beer parties, yeah.
You know, just a celebration. When
that's all.
Did it affect the unit being stripped?
Well, yes, because gradually it stripped the unit. A senior member would go, somebody had to fill his place, and gradually we were run down until such times as we had the commanding officer obviously got orders for the regiment to go, that we were going home.
Well, now, it was a whole regiment, the whole of 43rd going back.
Yep, the whole
and
regiment.
And this is, we've got a date again, we're well fixed,
yeah,
up
we're well
now,
fixed on that. Yeah, we're fixed on that.
You came back in October 47.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember of the preparations for coming back? I mean, we're going to you left the tank. Can you talk about leaving the tanks behind?
Yeah,
we left them.
We left everything behind.
And was that with another regiment or for the Indians?
The Indian Army took over.
And did you actually show them how they were? I mean, because, you know, you can't just leave someone something. Were they trained in how to use them?
Yes, we were training them how to use. To be honest, I think the CDL tanks, if I remember rightly, went somewhere, and I don't know where they went to. But certainly the Shermans were left.
And was it a big training program, or were you involved in it? Or
it was local training on how to use them, how to fire, and stuff like that. As you would in a replacement English chap, you know, they just came in, took over. We just explained everything to them. They were instructed how the things worked, maintained, so on and so forth.
Had they worked on tanks before?
Some of them had, but the majority, no.
And so what then? You'd handed over the tanks. What's the journey back?
It was a long journey back. Yeah. But again, you remember I spoke to you about on ships, you should always volunteer.
And what ship were you on this time? Now, you think he was back on the Georgic, but you've got a story about it because you saw it sunk on the way out.
Yeah, on the way out, we passed a ship lying on the bottom outside port side.
That was on the way out?
Yeah. And to our astonishment, when we got down to the docks, it was the Georgic. And when we got on board it, and we're on the way home, and we got to find our way about the ship. When you looked from off down the main tunnel in the centre of the ship, from the rear to the stem at the front, she was warped like a donkey's hind leg, where she'd been blasted and sunk. But she was serviceable, obviously. And the funny part about that is, again, picking up again, is when we came back from Korea, that was the ship.
That was the ship again, wasn't it?
When we came down into Busan, that was the boat waiting for us.
Now, so you were on the Georgic, a bit surprised.
Seeing it there.
And you were going to tell me a story about your own trick of volunteer. Yeah, what did you volunteer for this time?
Believe it or not, the cookhouse.
And for the same reasons?
For the same reason.
Did it work?
I had many, many friends. Again. Yeah.
So it worked again?
Yes. We had a very pleasant voyage back. And we landed at Liverpool.
And that would be November 47, I presume. It would take about 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And what was your reception when you got to Liverpool? Anything special?
Yes, the band was there. The Royal Tank Regiment band was there to welcome us back.
And what about the people, the public? Any interest from the Liverpoolians?
Usual cheery lot, you know. Welcome back and all that. But then we were.
What about customs? Because they can be very difficult.
Oh, they were very, very tight. MPs came on board, and all our kit bags were checked for weapons. If they weren't registered to us, they had to be handed in. And then eventually, of course, we were disembarked, and we were put on trains, and we arrived down at Bovington again.